Call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-800-636-1067. They're ready to believe you.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
On the test.
Don't go on the Rosie O'Donnell show, you.
Bring her on. I'll take that bitch on. You see, Rob came into work today with his NRA guest membership club.
Yes, he went shooting yesterday.
Rather his card. He's now a member of the NRA.
No.
Guest member. Not a member. I could have joined for $25, and that's $10 off.
Because he chose not to.
I chose not to because I didn't have the cash. I don't. It's not a thing of philosophy.
Oh, okay. So you would have joined if you had the
sure, guest. If I had some money. And right up. I like clubs.
Rob. You are the NRA, Robbie.
Well, thank you, fellas. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Stossel, dear, and all the ships at sea. After a long weekend of consoling the widow Torbe, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
Now I know why you had to shoot something up.
Yeah.
Mel Torbe.
I know. I understand. I'm with you, Rob.
Hello, and thank you for listening. Coast to coast and nationwide. Still via best with my darling. Two more days to go. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Meara, right here. That's why we still, to this very call, you cotton picking Don and Mike show.
And today, even though it's the middle of summer, our chestnuts are roasting on an open fire.
Coming to you, stop it with the tribute to Mel Torme. Coming to you from Stinkhole Number One. I know he wrote the song.
Yeah, Rob was very proud of that one. I got the nod from Rob that said that was a good
deal. All's okay if Rob Spiewak gave you the big nod on that.
Just playing to one, though, an audience of one.
I know. Coming to you from this stinkhole, coming to JFK, Washington, D.C. Ken with skin tag, six-car garage. Jeremy's a gerbil. He's under his desk right now. Big Daddy now in New York City. And, of course, our agent, Junior Soprano. He's in Chicago. And there is your change man, Soccer Mom, take Junior and Missy, and move them way to the back of the room. What is that, a ski cap? No, it's a Mel Torme mask. I just whipped it out. Another perfectly executed open in a big-time major market radio show. Yes, we're winding down our days with good old Westwood One.
We are indeed. Things are moving in the right direction.
They've still managed to clear the show on 61 affiliate stations, and we do have 5 million Armstrong rated listeners. And for that, we are very grateful, and we thank you for your patronage. Here is my left and your right. Oh, cash day today for Guy Birdley. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Very casually dressed over there, half Burbank. Are those PJs you're wearing, or is that one of your pullover shirts with 6 buttons on it?
No, it's just a regular American golf shirt.
Is it really? It's made out of cotton?
Yeah, regular guy shirt, you know.
You it's got one of those
exotic Eastern fabric.
No, it's just a regular damn shirt.
It's a Levi shirt. There's your man.
Really?
Shirt. Yeah.
All right. It doesn't look like the golf shirts you wear to work, Mike.
Well, I'm wearing something I never wear. This is probably, you know, and I got to be honest with you.
Short sleeve button down from the Dan Ryson collection?
I feel so uncomfortable.
From the Kevin Arnold collection?
Yeah. And unlike, and really, on this one for me, first of all, it's too big, which is rare that I find anything in my closet. It's too big for me. Second of all, these shirts, you know, everybody that's ever worn these shirts that I've given, that I've busted their chops has always said to me, well, they're comfortable. No, they're not. There's nothing comfortable about these button-down, like working man short sleeve shirts. They look nerdy and they feel like crap.
It's a very handsome look. It looks like you could be working at NASA at Mission Control tonight.
That's
the kind of shirt my dad used to wear to work all the time. All you need is a clip-on tie.
You know, it's not short sleeve. It goes like over the elbow and everything. It's just like, gee, I hate it, man. I'm going to find a t-shirt like in the back room somewhere.
You guys should take a lesson from me. You never go wrong with a black t-shirt.
How many
days a week? I got about 100 black t-shirts.
You're right.
I wear a black t-shirt to work almost every single
day. Are you wearing, I didn't notice today, are you wearing shorts today or long pants?
Yes, shorts.
Okay, but are you wearing shorts today?
No, long pants today.
Oh, okay.
Big boy pants. Rob has shorts on, and Rob also is wearing a sandal so he can see his Fred Flintstone feet.
I like the sandal look, though. There you go.
Okay, boys. I said that's quite enough feet.
I tell you, you're going to see more of my feet this year than you.
Thanks for the warning.
I thought I'd go. In fact, I might be going to buy my second pair of sandals. That's how much I like wearing them now.
Wow. today is Monday. I'll just move right past that. Today is Monday, the 7th of June, and our telephone number is still 1-800-636-1067. Will you get your feet off the table? I mean, I know your feet are up on the table most times.
I was just waving at me. I was looking, hey, Rob's got this. Look at Rob.
Come on now.
Why those are big sandals?
Siegfried and Roy bought you. Get your feet off the console. Please. Hello, Don and Roy show.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Hello, hi.
I was just calling from Wichita, Kansas. I was driving on the road and saw this gigantic billboard with your guys' faces on it, along with G. Gordon and Don Dumbass. But anyway, just wanted to call and tell you guys it looks like KFH is going to be picking you up here, and we're all excited about it.
Good.
Excellent.
Good. Wonderful news. How much you want to bet at the station in Wichita, KFH Talk Radio? They finally got a billboard?
Yeah.
I bet you it's the picture from 5 years ago.
It's the cartoon, sure.
You guys look fairly slender.
Oh, so it is the picture. It is a picture. It's a picture with, are we both standing up?
No.
Not the new one. It's not the new picture. I bet it's the old crappy picture. I hate that picture.
You got G. Gordon with a big black mustache.
Well, hey, there's a shocker.
Right, come on, that's his picture.
Right.
Come on, we
got crawling up there in the can of spray paint.
We are concerned with how we look on this billboard.
You look wonderful.
All right, thank you.
I like you. I'm wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful.
Hello, Don and Mike Joe.
Don A.
Buddy.
I was on vacation last week, but I'm back now. If you can smell what the rock is cooking.
Hello. Don and Mike Joe. That's how our prank callers take a week off from vacation.
And where was that from? We finally found out.
Huh?
Wrestling.
That's a wrestling code.
Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, Mike. You going to bring your golf clubs to Sacramento?
No. No, we're doing too much. It's really one of those deals where we're getting off the plane, we're doing the show, then we're doing the Las Vegas-style show, and then we're getting back on the plane. There won't be any time to hit the egg.
Airport.
Is it really?
Yes, and it's right on the way to the auditorium.
Find out if they have rental clubs.
We can do that. No problem.
Very good. All right. Thank you, my friend.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Well, how you doing, man? I'm calling from Georgia, and I got some complaining to do with that Don and Marie show.
Yes, go ahead.
Who am I talking to here?
This is Donnie and Marie.
Well, hello, Donnie and Marie.
Hi there.
I got the governor here from Atlanta, Georgia.
A new record.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
And I got the governor here, and I don't like your programming. I don't like it.
What's that?
Well, I just deleted that out.
Yes,
I
had to.
What do you think about that?
You think about that Donnie and Marie show?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Way to go, Donnie.
Hey, guys, what's going on, buddies?
Thanks, Marie. I want to tell you something, Marie. The whole time we were on television back in the 70s,
yes.
I knew it would have been incestuous, but oh, did I want to bang you.
Same here, Donnie.
So bad, Marie.
I ache for you, Donnie.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Marie Osmond.
Hi. I'm Donnie Osmond. How you doing? Don't you wish you were me? As Donnie Osmond, the real Donnie Osmond, has said many times on this show.
Oh, he's great.
Hello?
Hey, Mike.
What?
I want to audition for your summer camp.
Well, this is beginning to get tedious now, because none of these guys that want to audition for your camp are any good.
Yeah, we've had a real string of, are you confident that this is good?
Confident. It's a good one.
All right, go ahead. Who is it, first of all?
This is either Tom Anderson or Hank Hill. Depending on which cartoon you watch.
Who is Tom Anderson?
Who's Tom Anderson?
Oh, is that Beavis and Butthead.
The Beavis and Butthead?
No, I'm afraid I'm not going to allow it. No, I have to make those editorial decisions once in a while.
As the head counselor.
Yeah, and it's right. Early in the week, and I'm not going to allow that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, Don, a couple of weeks ago, or maybe like a week ago, you said Family Guy was awful?
Yeah, the TV show, yes, it sucks.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man.
Oh, my God, that show is awesome.
I know. Well, I'm known for making outrageous statements on this show. That was one of my most outrageous statements.
Controversial, Don.
That's right. Controversial.
Family Guy?
Yeah, show sucks. It's a cartoon.
Right. New Simpsons. That's what it is.
It's the worst. And you're behind the times. I mean, the animated features are, you know, the animated sitcoms are a thing of the past. Live in the now.
I am into Futurama, though.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
You're out of your mind, Don.
What?
You're out of your mind. How could you think that Futurama is better than Family Guy?
Well, it is, man. Futurama's a hell of a funny show. It took me a while to catch on. My favorite is The Drunk Robot.
When is Futurama on?
I don't know.
This fall, it'll be right after The Simpsons again.
On Sunday night?
On Fox, right.
Thank you, Buzz.
Hey, so that's like another block of cartoons?
Right.
Right.
Right. And F you, sir.
Oh, F you.
Oh, F you, please. That's pretty good. This is a typical summertime start.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don?
Yes?
I love you. That lady called. I've heard a lady call before and tell you how hot she thought you was. And
when was this?
You must have never seen a picture. I've come to two of your shows and I am in love with you. You are beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I am a beautiful man. Thank you. And that's probably how you describe my
husband. You're very beautiful.
Very beautiful.
Very, very beautiful.
I'm very beautiful.
Very, very beautiful man.
All right, thank you.
If you want to, you know, the way to your heart, too, is to, you take all the other compliments, talent, anything else, throw it out the window. If you want, if somebody wants to get to you, they're welcome to say, you are a very beautiful man.
Beautiful man.
That's it, I'm yours.
My tears turn into laughter. I get all jello-y, you know, I get all buttery. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
You want me upstairs?
What?
What day, what time? Any guys that want me, I just love to get a spot. Black guys, especially groups of guys. I've got a 28-inch waist. Married, white, 30, well endowed. I look good. Love to wear sexy little panties and just take it real hard in both times. Just
oh my, oh my.
If you want me to. I'd love to take it
on
my face,
and
I just
want to
be in
there. Oh, okay. All right. All right. Okay.
There's someone whispering what they like.
Hello. This is Don and Mike show.
Yes, this is Housewife Speak to Don and Mike.
Yeah, that car phone is giving me a headache, though. Yes, ma'am, you're on the air.
Okay. Hey, Don?
Yeah.
You can roll your window up or something?
Yeah, I've got my windows up.
All right.
First time caller, but I'm going to tell you, I get off work every day at 3, and you all entertain me if I get home.
Thank you. We do appreciate that.
And Mike's laugh should be canned and put on a record or something. It is terrific.
Mike's what?
His laugh.
His laughter.
Oh, his laugh.
Oh,
Mike.
Now, do it just normal.
Your laugh.
My laugh.
But you guys are really terrific. Unfortunately, you don't hear enough women callers.
No, you know, we certainly don't.
And I'm sorry about that, but you all really cracked me up at how you can put people on and they don't realize they're being put on is unbelievable.
Well, thank you, baby. That's very sweet of you.
Thank you, baby.
I'm calling from up around Winchester, Virginia area.
Gotcha. Bless your feet picking heart.
I'm a telephone operator, and like I said, you make my day coming home from work.
Thank you, Sarah.
Very nice.
And
thank you.
All have a nice evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sarah, that was from Mayberry.
That's right, the operator. I want to say hi to my mailman who I talked to. He delivered a package to the house today, and we got talking, and he gave me the kind of compliment I know we both like to hear. And he was sitting there, and he was giving me the mail, and I was talking about the heat. I said, you know, I guess you don't have air conditioning in that thing. He said, no, no. And I said, well, do you get to leave early when it's like this and come in early? He said, no, no, the truck comes at 10. I said, well, I hang in there. I know it's kind of hot out there. He goes, yeah. And as he's walking back to his truck, he turns around and goes, hey, and listen, tell your partner, thanks for the banana lady.
You know, that's great.
For those who serve, you know, and I'm just like, yeah, all right, good.
Yeah, really, no lie. This show is for those, you know, the 96%.
Absolutely.
The 96% of this country that's gainfully employed.
Right. And when you look at the guy's face, and it was just right there. He was entertained by that segment.
Getting in the car at the end of a hot day.
Right, that's right.
Working for an asshole like Ken Stevens. I mean, you need something
sure.
At the end of the day to get you through your day.
Amen.
Know what it's about, man. Hello.
Hello.
I really wish there was a show like that we could listen to on our way home when we get done dealing with Ken Stevens.
I do indeed. I do indeed. But it would have to be more irreverent than we are, and that's
impossible.
You know, they haven't made that legal yet. We're so controversial.
We are. Hello. Yes, hi,
Jerry. Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
Hey, do you guys still play poker on the weekends anymore?
Oh, we do every once in a while. About once a month, I have the boys over to the house play poker.
Well, you don't talk about it anymore, though.
Oh, we haven't played for a long time.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You gotta, like, summertime, weather gets warmer, other things start cropping up.
Yeah. I imagine that our next big game will probably be when we're out in Sacramento in a couple of weeks.
I'd say that's almost a guarantee.
Whenever we travel, the boys all get together. We get some room service,
that's the new cards. That's the new thing now when we're on the road.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, the hotel poker game. Very cool.
Yeah, we love that.
I'm looking forward to seeing you guys in Sacramento. I'll watch you guys' show.
See you. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, can I say one thing to Mike?
Yes?
You almost got me to crash my car the other day when you had Jesse Ventura say, McIntosh, he's the mayor of McIntosh. That was the funniest thing I think I had ever heard anywhere.
Well, yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, you do a wicked Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Wicked.
Wicked good.
Wicked good. What? I don't even know what that we were talking and that guy was talking.
I don't even know what that was about.
Yeah. All right. Well, as you know, our audience is there. Mm-hmm. Our phone lines are ringing. They're all lit up like a Christmas tree.
That's right.
We will ignore them now to tell you what is on today's show.
Yeah.
Today, we're going to be talking to Dr. Junta, the doctor that's going to be performing the next bit of plastic surgery that we're giving away on this show. Yes. Just about 2 weeks from now, we will be giving away male body sculpting / penis enhancement surgery to one of our lucky listeners.
That is not lengthening, that is fattening.
All of the qualifying contestants, now those you got to pay attention to, please. You got to be 21 or older.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. 21 or older. We want to thank Aesthetic Plastic Surgery International, 703-845-7400. We'll get the doctor in here in a couple of seconds, and we will quiz him about exactly what is involved in the procedure, the latest medical procedure we're giving away on this show.
Yeah, and I would assume this contest is for rotund, fat guys that maybe have little things.
Right, absolutely.
Which is, I mean, you know, it's
about all of our audience.
Absolutely, and in one, you know, fell swoop, you can, you know, feel better about yourself.
So we'll be talking to the doctor, and this contest will be lickety-split, if you'll pardon the pun. A couple of weeks from now, we'll have selected the winner, and the surgery will happen before the 4th of July.
Oh, really? Yeah. That quickly?
Yeah, so we got a quick turnaround on this.
Good.
Also, starting today on the show, we'll be giving away tickets for our special premiere screening of Austin Powers, the spot. Who Shagged Me.
Yeah, baby.
Shagged Me Rotten, baby. Our special screening is Friday morning at 10 a.m.
This does look funnier than the original. I really have seen the trailers for it. This movie looks like it's going to be funnier than the first one.
Great. And we'll be giving away those tickets every day this week, and we'll start that in just a few. Also, I want to make sure that we talk about the Brady Bunch show that I saw on exclamation point last night.
Is this a reunion show?
No. Hi, honey.
Well, hi, boo-boo.
Listen, it is my wife's, I want to make sure I get the number correct, 44th birthday
today. Thank you.
44.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday,
happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
I think you really might be 45. Happy birthday,
hey,
honey.
No, I was just opening the mail, and I got a nice card from guess who?
Buzz!
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Hi. Happy birthday.
Did you get mine? Did you get my card yet?
No, but I'm expecting a photo of you. And
did I eventually get that card to you last year?
No.
No, you didn't. Okay, got to do it today. I'll do it next commercial break.
Well, happy birthday, honey.
Thank you, Sugi. You've been very nice to me.
Yes, I sure have.
It's good, good birthday for you.
Turned it into a whole, like, birthday weekend from my wife.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Did the Saturday experience, Sunday experience, the stuff she likes to do all weekend.
Yeah.
Did nothing I like to do. I had a miserable weekend.
Not so.
All weekend.
Oh, that's right.
That's not true.
No, we had a good time. We had a great time together.
Well, thank you.
Love you.
I love you, too.
Want to make sure I told you, happy birthday.
All right. Well, your deed is done.
Okay, thank you.
So you cooking dinner for me tonight?
No.
Well, we're barbecuing so you can cook it. That was the
point. Honey, come on. You know the deal. Dinner on the table at 8.
Please, it's one of your few wifely duties.
You're king of the barbecue. You're so much better.
Honey, come on. Just make the dinner. Just grill me my meat.
All right, but the chicken will be burnt on the outside and raw on the inside.
Come on, just make dinner for me.
Grill me my meat.
All right.
I need, me needs me meat.
That's fine.
All right.
All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Love you.
Love you, too.
Love you.
You can't have your pudding unless you eat your meat.
She is 44.
44 today.
That means next year she will be 45.
Is 45 one that she's sensitive about? Or?
No, but I think it's hilarious. I don't know why I think 45 is such a funny number.
Yeah. 45.
But damn, it is a funny one. Oh, I got a bunch of stuff about the weekend to tell you about, too, with all this special crap that I did for my wife.
Yes.
I will save that, though, because we have to talk to the doctor here. Also, remind me, I want to talk about the Brady Bunch show that was on exclamation point.
Now, what is this Brady Bunch show you speak of?
True Hollywood Story.
Oh, really?
Right. And it wasn't a one-hour True Hollywood Story, like when they've done Anna Nicole Smith or Frasier.
Mm-hmm.
It was a two-hour True Hollywood Story last night.
With all the relationships and all the behind-the-scenes goings-on.
Yeah, the thing that was the funniest about it was to see all of the Brady kids. They're all grown up now.
Cindy ended up being the hottest.
Did she really?
Of all of them.
She had surgery to remove her lisp.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so she now speaks normally, and she's the hottest.
She looks really good?
Yeah. Eve Plum, who was Jan, she got the vis ass.
Uh-huh.
She has, her figure goes like this.
Huge.
You could probably tell, back when the show was on, that she may have headed in that direction, but I expected Cindy would be right behind her.
No, Cindy looks good, and Maureen McCormick, not looking too good.
Well, probably longer in the tooth now. She would be, how old would she be now?
I don't know, 30 or something like that?
At least.
I don't know. What was funny about this show, there's a lot of things that I want to talk about this show, but the funniest is, you remember when the Brady Bunch came out with records?
Yeah.
Okay. They did a whole big feature on this true Hollywood story about the Brady Bunch's singing career.
Right.
And they're interviewing them now. Okay. This is not like when they're at the height of their popularity. They're right. Interviewing them now. And they're all sitting in these serious motifs. They go, you know, we could have been as big as the Osmonds, but the Jackson 5, if we hadn't gotten the poor management.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe if you'd had some talent.
And then they cut to a scene of them on stage, like at the Illinois State Fair or something.
Right.
With them. Painful to watch them sing and dance. Proud Mary, keep on burning, burning, rolling, rolling, rolling on the river.
But still, even after all these years, still kind of delusions of grandeur.
Yes, absolutely.
Thinking they could be recording stars.
Huge delusions of grandeur.
Unbelievable. They're so insulated, probably.
It's so funny. And all the talk about the dad being a homo in real life.
Robert Reed.
And towards the end of the show, how they all, like on every television show that you hear about, after a show's been on for a while, nobody's happy with the way that the show is.
Right.
That they all wanted the characters to be more realistic, that they wanted to have more realistic conflicts. They had a whole big story about the final episode of the Brady Bunch. I'm sure you guys remember this episode. It's the one where Bobby had a scheme where he was going to sell some kind of hair goo, and Greg ended up turning his hair like purple or something, and Greg wore a towel on his head for a long time. Well, during the production of this show, the dad, Robert Reed, in real life, he looked at the script and he said, this is a piece of crap.
Okay, he didn't want to go out like that.
There is no way that the Bradys would do something as silly as this.
Didn't he supposedly look at a lot of scripts and say they were pieces of crap?
But this one is the one that he drew the line on.
Right.
It was their final episode.
Yeah, he wanted to go out on a higher note.
So they said, okay, that's fine. They had a little meeting on the set, and the producer said, that's fine. You see what this is? It's an eraser. These are your lines in the script. You see this? I've just written you out of the final episode. You're not even in the episode anymore. So then Robert Reed says, that's fine. He sits down. He just sits down and refuses to move. So at that point, they're thinking that they're going to have to get security guards to come on the set to forcibly take Robert Reed.
It was that bitter.
To remove it. It was fantastic.
Wow.
I mean, all kinds of crap like that.
Did they mention anything about Robert Reed's drinking that we found out when we had Cindy on the show? Remember, he used to go to the bar across from Paramount?
Oh, that's right.
About that.
Any mention of that?
No.
Really?
No. He ended up though being in the last episode, didn't he?
No, he was cut out of the last
episode. Completely cut out of the last episode.
Not in the last episode.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Well, I got lots of junk about that to say. We do have, from last week, the article from the tabloid about Ricky Martin being a homo.
Yes.
We're going to be getting into that on today's show.
Yes.
Rita Loca, baby. Ricky Martin's gay riddle.
Mm-hmm. I know that the our gay listeners will be, the men in the audience who happen to be gay will be very, very happy.
They're all rooting for that.
Yeah, that Ricky Martin is indeed gay.
Well, we don't know it for sure.
It's a tabloid story, but there's some interesting stuff in there.
We will find out, and as it turns out, there's some research we could do into this.
Right.
So we're going to get into the issue of Ricky Martin being gay or not on today's show.
Cool. Excellent idea.
It's going to be a huge lineup. Okay, let's clear these lines out right now. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hi. This is Elise.
Yes, Elise.
And I was calling to find out why, perchance, Don will not fix his wife dinner for her birthday.
Because, Elise, I am here making the money that makes our meal possible tonight.
You are here in control now, gentlemen.
I spent the previous 48 hours doing nothing but making my life with my wife perfect. This whole weekend was dedicated to her.
Was it great?
It was just great.
Did she thoroughly enjoy it?
She thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, then, I, by all means, apologize.
The party is freaking over, though.
Elise is concerned about your wife's well-being.
Don't worry about my wife, okay?
Okay.
Okay? My wife's got it better than anybody in this whole goddamn world.
Really?
made?
She got it sent.
My husband says I got it made.
No. Absolutely not. My wife is Cinderella. She got it made.
Cinderella.
She's married to me. As you know, I'm a beautiful man.
Oh, yes.
No, she's got it great.
So, oh,
you know, it'll do her good to get outside and cook me some meat today.
My husband cooks supper every night,
No, that's just terrific.
I don't like it.
What time does he get home?
About 4:30.
Oh, about 4:30. See, 4:30, we'll be right in the beginning part of our show.
I know. We listen to it while we fix supper every night.
So you fix supper. Do you clean up?
Yes, I'm the cleaning lady.
All right. Okay.
You know, that's my job.
All right. See, I wish my wife would do that. We have a real cleaning lady. Her name is...
And I do it well.
Her name is Elise, as a matter of fact. Your name is Elise, and so is our cleaning lady.
No, my name is Dully. D-E-L-I-S-E.
Oh, Dully. Dully's. What is your... what will you and your husband be enjoying for dinner this evening?
We're grilling out steak. Mm-hmm. We are having a salad, mm-hmm. some garlic bread, and some homemade french fries.
Oh, homemade french fries.
Very nice, Delise.
Wow.
Well, thank you. Don't shed a tear worrying about my life with my wife.
I always stick up for your wife.
Well, she needs no one to stick up for. Please, she's the most pampered, spoiled woman on the face of the earth.
I hear you.
Okay, thank you.
You have a good day.
All right. Bye. Enjoy that dinner.
Yeah, I will.
Especially when you wake up in the morning with the vish poops.
Hello.
Hey, Don Mike.
Don Mike. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Put it together. You have steak, fresh home fries, potatoes,
garlic bread.
Garlic bread.
Salad.
Do salad. There's the great equalizer.
There you go. Hello.
Hey, Don Mike.
Yes, hi.
Hey, this weekend I had to take my wife out to Dulles. She was flying out of the country, and just so happens while we were there, I ran into the frog, his wife, and their lovely baby, Chance.
Oh, Larry King. Hi, folks. It's Larry King. And, you know, I don't think the picture was picked up nationally.
Right.
But again today in the Washington Post, there's another picture of Larry King with his baby.
Yeah, Larry King wearing a Hawaiian shirt and, like, a straw hat, looking every bit like a human raisin.
Well, he looked like the living dead. He's wearing a blue, like a bright blue blazer and a yellow shirt. And she was wearing some black jumper and had the baby in this device that she was carrying it in the front.
Now, was it a navy blue or was it that royal blue?
Oh, like a royal blue.
Oh, God, and a yellow shirt.
Yeah, it was hideous.
I want to be noticed.
Yeah. Look at me, bright yellow shirt, navy blue blazer.
And I noticed that he walked like the Karate Kid, you know, Ralph Macchio, on his toes, kind of weird. What a gimp. Well, anyway.
Did you mention our name,
Sarah? I did. We went to the sea concourse, and so I happened to see...
That's for all the women flying, or C-word.
Right, the sea concourse. His wife, Sean, is that her name?
Right.
Was getting some ice cream, like, from this frozen yogurt stand, so I just happened to meander back to where I followed her. And there was Larry, so I said, I walked up and I said, "Hey, Larry, how about that Don and Mike show?" And he said, "What do they pay you idiots to follow me around?"
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks. I thought I'd share that with you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's pretty cool.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. They pay you.
Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
You know, now that we're on all across the country.
Well, I'm saying now that we've been on all across country for a long time.
Right.
He must run into that.
I'm sure.
An awful lot.
I'm sure. And he is a guy. I have noticed this, you know, ever since we started being aware of Larry's presence here in Washington, D.C. Used to see him at hockey games. And I told you this. He'd walk down to the railing, and he'd sit with his back, stand actually with his back to the railing, just looking up at the crowd.
So people could see him.
Right.
So that was my impression. He was.
Right.
He looked like a guy who was simply waiting to be noticed.
And see, we would probably lay off Larry King, except we know that it bothers him.
Right.
The stuff that we say about
and
him.
And he'll give us the little digs, you know, like he did on the Sacramento TV stations.
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of the way.
And besides, though, it's hard to lay off on a guy because he's always putting his, you know, now he's doing that thing where he's in the paper every week.
Strong King.
And Sean Southwick King, my beautiful, tall, beautiful wife.
He's very Moses-like.
What should I wear to the airport? A lot of people are going to see me. What I'm going to do is I'll wear the royal blue blazer. Bright canary yellow shirt.
That's good, that's good.
Let me hold the baby, let me hold the baby. Look at me.
Look at me, I'm Larry King.
Hi, I'm Larry King.
Hello. And isn't there a new hair controversy with Larry King, too?
I told you.
Yeah.
On his show, it looks to me like he's either wearing a piece or he's had a weave.
Mm-hmm.
The hair looks different, man. More of it.
We'll hear more about that.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
Hey, man, how come you guys didn't give Frida a birthday spanking?
How do you know I didn't give her a birthday spanking?
Oh, well, I want to hear it on the air so I can hear her moan and groan.
Oh, please. Come on, get out of here.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I did take her yesterday afternoon, though.
Take her?
Take her.
You didn't take her anywhere. You just took her.
Yeah, right. No.
I feel like a man takes a woman.
I took her up to the bedroom yesterday afternoon.
I took her. Take her now.
Hello. Last call. Don and Mike show.
Hey, how's it going, Don?
This is my last shot with a 43-year-old woman. Starting today, the only sex I'm getting is from a 44-year-old woman.
44. 44 caliber.
Hello?
Marty.
Bobby, last call here. Hello there.
What's happening?
Hi. All right, thank you.
Thanks so much. No problem.
Bye. All right. Bye-bye.
I think when they hang on.
As long as they hang on. Thank you. No problem. Bye.
Okay.
There you go.
That's our show right there.
That's our audience. Folks, there are the toe-tapping touch toes. We will clear these lines right now and start today's show with a caller number 100. And we have another big prize at the end of the week, another DVD giveaway.
Excellent.
So we'll give you something. That will put you in the running for that if you're the 100th person to call us. And 1-800-636-1067.
My hair grows.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, you are the 100th caller.
Hey, buddy.
And you have won a Midsummer Night's Dream prize pack. A Midsummer Night's Dream available from Fox Searchlight Pictures. But wait, there's more. You've qualified for another Austin Powers Week giveaway. Friday, we're giving away another DVD player and Austin Powers Spy Who Shagged Me prize pack. You're already running for that. Shop the web's number one DVD superstore, DVDExpress.com. Visit DVDExpress.com and register to win a trip for two to the British opening of the movie.
Sweet.
Please make sure you're listening to Friday's episode, and we thank you. Hold on a second.
Thank you very much.
Hold on a second. Okay, now.
Yes.
Let me see. I can't get that other thing off my mind now.
Yeah, I'm surprised, too. But, you know, those parties, every now and then somebody slips up. And I guess that's somebody that doesn't realize we know all, we hear all, we hear about it. But as I said, it sounds to me like somebody had one too many glasses of wine.
Guy that works here.
Mm-hmm.
Guy that works in management here.
Mm-hmm, right.
Apparently he doesn't like us very much.
Now, I talk to him all the time, and I'm very disappointed. I'm very hurt if that's the way he really feels.
I never talk to him.
I talk to him when I'm out there putting, and, not a lot, but I talk to him occasionally. And so, you know, I'd be lying if I said I was really bothered by that. I could give a rat's ass what he thinks of me.
I just wish the guy had the balls. If you don't like us, you know.
Say so.
Just come up to us and say so. Jeff?
No.
Hedges?
Jeff Hedges.
Maybe that's why he's so mad, because we say he's a vampire.
You think that's what it is?
I don't know.
Well, that's a funny busy. Certainly hope he doesn't take it personally.
Guy told a bunch of people at this party on Friday night that he hates us, called us some very nasty names, and said he would love the opportunity to come in the studio and put us in our place.
Put us in our place.
Wow. Keep in mind, this is a guy that I've said maybe five words to the whole time he's worked there.
Well, obviously, he's formulated an opinion. That's too bad.
How do I get through? Am I not using the right line?
He told, if you were going to say something bad about us, you told the wrong person.
Uh-huh. Right. He got back to us immediately.
Gadget.
Excellent. 9-4-7.
He left the building.
Don't get it through.
All right.
Always a controversy.
Always.
It's always an adventure. There's never a...
Session to be JFK.
It's not a week. It's a day. There's never a day to come by.
It's not in life. Can you put a suit of Jeff Hedges, please?
Yeah, 1 second.
Thank you, Colette.
There you go.
That's a scary old man.
Hi, this is Jeff Hedges. It is Monday, June 7th. I will be in and out of the office today, but checking voicemail regularly. Please leave a message and a telephone number. I will return your call as soon as possible. You may reach an operator at any time during regular business hours by dialing 0. Recording.
Hey, Jeff. It's one of the fat F's. I'm here with the other fat F.
Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
As you referred to us at the party on Friday night.
We had no idea that your feelings were that strong.
We understand that you hate us. You have no problem making millions of dollars a year off our show, yet you hate us. And we also hear that you'd like to come in here and put us in our place.
So we just wanted to call and say hi.
Yeah. Come on in anytime, you creepy old man.
Please. Goodbye.
You know, I don't like you, Jeff, but you know, the difference is I've never made a secret of it. Okay?
You two-faced
vampire.
I guess he's not making a secret of it anymore himself.
Right.
It's out for the whole world to know.
Oh, he's a big man at the party when we're not at the party on Friday nights.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, we know all. We see all.
Right.
There you go, Will.
That's a pisser. That guy works here. That guy's out on the street representing our show, selling commercials for our show. Oh, and I got another issue, too.
Uh-oh. What else is going on?
Oh, with Ken, but his phone number.
What did he do now?
Well, now he says that Stacy from the sales staff can't judge the penis contest.
What? Why?
I don't know.
She was like the one we settled on to do that.
Right. Remember, we're going to have the contest to give away the surgery and stuff?
Well, maybe Ken can judge it.
Oh.
Nope, his line's busy. Always controversy around here.
Hello, Gadget. Hello. Stacy's not able to judge that contest because of that memo that came out last week.
Well, can't we make an exception to that?
I thought Ken said, Ken told us. He also mentioned some form of harassment.
Oh.
Harassment from who?
I don't know.
Well, no, now don't just...
No, I don't know.
Don't say a word like harassment
That's
and then say,
said.
I don't know.
He
what
said,
do you
I don't want anything like harassment. We didn't get into a long discussion about it.
You don't want anything like harassment for what?
We're looking at guys.
What?
She's judging a penis.
Oh, okay. All right, sexual harassment.
Right.
Right. So by having her look at the guys, she could come back and say that's sexual harassment.
Even though she wants to do it.
Okay, I understand.
Jesus, huh?
All right. Would you go upstairs and see what he's doing?
Sure.
See if he wants to talk to us.
And ask if he wants to judge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or Jeff?
Yeah. I think Hedges is up there.
All right.
Okay.
Tell him that he can come in here anytime he wants to try to put us in our place.
Oh,
Anytime he wants to.
Always an adventure.
What's his title here? What's he do here anyway? He's some sales guy, right?
I don't know. He's a creature of the night.
I guess so.
A winged creature of the night.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll let it go for now. It's just these controversies, they come to me during the commercial set.
I know.
Right.
I know, and you hate them.
Hold on. Hello?
Jeff is in his office if you want to call him back.
Oh, I will. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right. We'll get this straightened out. Vice President of Sales here at WJFK. Once and for all. Never heard an unkind word from the guy in the hallway, no? Says hello.
Mm-hmm. Well, he doesn't hate you, Buzz.
Anthony Burkhausen, WJFK.
Hey, it's Donna Mike. Can we talk to Jeff again?
Yeah, 1 second.
Always an adventure. At WJFK in Washington.
Jesus Christ.
There's no answer.
There's a problem with a coworker.
Hi, this is Jeff Hedges.
All right,
this is Monday, June 7th.
Well, we just want to solve these problems with coworkers.
That is the goal. That is the goal. So we have an exquisite working relationship with everybody here.
Right?
You know, but seriously, that doesn't help our cause all that much. You know, because we're always having feuds with management. You know, so it's always good to make sure we know where we stand with people. I think that's important.
Jesus Christ. Oh, Jen's still on the telephone, too. Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to come back to both of those issues at another point in today's show.
That is correct.
Okay. Lots going on here. You know, hey, it's Monday. Who knew? You know, you get everybody together at a party.
What would this place be without a little infighting?
Absolutely. I think it's the electricity that makes us all very successful.
All right, hold on. Homo Joe's on the phone.
All right.
Yes, hello, Homo Joe.
Hey, Don, Mike, and Buzz, and everybody. I just thought maybe you went from cooking for free from Homo Joe's.
Joe, you used the S word.
I'm sorry.
But you can't drop the S bomb, Joe.
I forgot.
Joe.
I'm sorry.
You're still such a rookie, Joe. You are such a rookie.
I know. I'm sorry.
Joe said, perhaps I'd like a recipe so I wouldn't be in Frida's F house. He said the S word.
Yeah. Well, I could make it for you and bring it down and just take it home for you. All she has to do is put it in the oven.
No. Well, no, I appreciate it. And you've now turned into like the gay Julia Child of this show. But no.
So this is Homo Joe's never-ending quest to become Martha Stewart.
There you go.
That's what he wants.
No thanks, Homo.
Okay.
Hey,
great day.
Let me ask you, though, from the homosexual point of view.
Yes, sir.
Ricky Martin.
Oh, he's a dream.
Latino songster.
Yeah, I thought he was gay when I first saw him.
Oh, you thought?
Yeah, his body movements and his hand actions.
I got a whole big thing on him in the Globe here that says he is gay.
Well, I believe he is.
He wouldn't be the first superstar who was hot with the ladies who turned out to be gay.
That's true.
That's right.
All right, thank you.
Look at George Michael. I mean, look at him. He ended up in the bathroom.
Thank you, homosexual Joseph.
All right, you have a great day.
All right.
Bye-bye. Put your homo Joe just naked with an apron on. You know, all these pots boiling on the stove.
No. Wrong one. Three.
Manager of the Yankees. I told you that would happen Saturday night, didn't I? Ah, yes. I-
I thought this was the right song to play with it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chicago!
Wrong George Michael.
No, that's the older George Michael.
Right. George Gimbels.
He's never called us ever since we had that whole age show.
Ever since we wondered how old he is.
We wanted to know how old he was, and he never called us.
He's probably going to go to the next party with Jeff Hedges. So we're going to talk how much he hates us.
Hey, where are those fat F's?
I don't know, but I sure do hate him.
I hate him. I don't care what I'll say what I think. They're not here. Come on.
They're fat ass. Oh, that's so funny.
God's sakes, if they think they're so special.
That's so funny.
That guy, please.
Nice suspenders, Jeff. That's a pretty happening look, man. Nice suspenders, Mr. Undertaker. Walking around this place look like you're freaking embalmed. Why don't you drop a few more times that you're friends with Robert Duvall? Because that really impresses everybody around here.
Please.
Oh, my God. He's not answering his telephone.
He's on his phone.
Oh, he's on his phone. Why don't you stick your head back there and tell him we'd like to chat with him?
You don't like to wait. Why wait? You know, get this thing done, out in the air, clear that air.
You know what's going to happen is
right.
We'll move on to something else, and I'll totally forget about that.
Yeah, and I know what you don't want to have happen. You don't want to be cornered in the hallway and have it there. You want it right here.
Right
now. Right
here on this stage.
In this forum.
In front of these fine people. By Geraldo. Major Bill Smith.
Hey, did you see Geraldo today? Geraldo was some real battlefield footage.
On the Today Show, I saw it.
I love Geraldo.
He was over in Kosovo.
I love Geraldo. I don't care who calls me gay. I love Geraldo.
You're gay.
I love Geraldo. I do. Geraldo is just, and I don't think Katie Couric likes Geraldo one little bit.
Of course
bit.
Not. He's not a real news guy, man.
Doesn't like him one little bit.
Hello, Charlie.
What I got from him was, he's on the phone.
He's on the phone.
Yeah, even though he told me anytime, any day, I'll come in, he's on the phone.
All right. Well, we'll find out later.
Okay. All right.
We will move on.
But he said that specifically to you.
Not once.
Well, walk us through it.
What's the guy's problem with
this? I don't remember how it started. I was standing there, and this was awkward for me, talking to Ken.
Right.
And Jeff came up and started talking about the two of you.
And how, I'm just curious, you piece it together, just how perhaps it was initiated.
I don't remember how it was initiated.
Mm-hmm.
It was Ken, Alan, and myself, and then Hedges came up,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about Hedges stuff, and then he started talking about the show.
Yeah, what did he say?
He was saying, you know, the show's doing great, they're number one.
Okay, so he
said
good
things. Knock them down, kind of things.
Okay, so he said good things about the show, and then something along the lines of knocking us down
mm-hmm.
to size, that
exactly.
type of thing. Okay, the big men knocking them down to size.
Right, the two fat F's.
Right.
He said that a couple of times,
uh-huh.
and then he started telling me more things. I said, you know, Jeff, I really don't want to hear any of this because it's going to get back to them because I'll tell them. And it'll end up on the air. And he said, where's your integrity? I said, it's not with you. It's
where's
with the show.
Where's your integrity?
I forgot. And Alan was standing there, kind of, I got the impression, trying to tell Jeff to be quiet. Let's just forget this.
Mm-hmm.
Forget this and move on.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kept going.
What's his issue with us? Did he mention what the issue is?
He never mentioned. Not once did he say where this came from.
Charlie, there were adult beverages served at the party. Could this have influenced, do you think, the situation in any way?
I hope he has an excuse.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Well, I'm dying just to play a commercial and go back to the freak's office and say, listen,
hey, it's me, Mr. Fat F.
It's me, Mr. F squared. Oh, my God.
What do you think about that, huh?
You know, it's great. There's nothing like those office get-togethers, I'll tell you that. There's always something. When you've got this many people...
How many times I mentioned they're really behind you around here?
They're really
behind you.
You get this many people doing these kind of jobs under this kind of pressure, and you get them all in one room, and all of a sudden...
Well, sure, you know that guy's the person that guy takes the ratings book out, and he goes, well, here's the deal. They're number one in the ratings. You got to give us a really high price for each commercial.
Yep.
That's the pressure. That's the pressure.
Oh, is this a different number?
Yeah, try that as a direct dial.
1-800 or?
No, 703. That number.
Okay, all right. Hedges hotline. Everybody right here is so goddamn
sneaky. That's Brad.
Okay, Brad.
Brad's phone number.
Well, then Broyle gave me the wrong number.
All right, bye, Brad.
Who's this?
It's Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, Brad. You got the memo. Maybe we should have gone to that party.
I'm thinking we should have gone to
that. You know, I'm thinking now we maybe should have. Maybe that's where a little of the heat's coming from.
Hmm.
No, I don't think so, Gene.
I talked to Shrinsky myself.
On Friday night.
Okay, great.
He was cool.
He was fine.
Ken Steven, 445.
Now at least we'll find out about Stacy.
And maybe we'll ask about the other.
Hello.
Hey. Hi, Ken. Don and Mike here.
Hi, Don and Mike.
It's your afternoon good guys.
Five most popular guys in your building.
My favorite afternoon show.
All right, listen. A couple of issues if you have just a moment.
Certainly.
First issue, I understand that you vetoed Stacy Bridges judging the contest to give away the plastic surgery.
Yes, I did.
And Charlie said something about that could be construed as harassment. Is that true?
Yeah.
And what if she...
How so?
What if she signed something that said that, you know...
She volunteered to do it.
Yeah, she kind of wanted to do it.
That's one of those gray areas that, you know, you volunteer today, but 6 months from now, you kind of forget you volunteered and you think, I probably shouldn't have done that, and I really blame the company for getting me involved.
No chance that one of the evil lawyers for the company could whip up a little something for her to put her John Hancock on or Mrs. Hancock and, you know, judge the contest?
She's cool.
I mean, you know, one of those little disclaimers like, I will never sue you things.
I don't even think we need that with Stacy. It's her account, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, but, you know, there are probably rules and regulations about how far you're encouraged to go in the business.
Rules and regulations. All right, next item of business. How come Jeff Hedges hates us so much, man?
Jeff Hedges?
Yeah, now, I understand you were at this party on Friday night when Jeff was shooting off his mouth saying that me and Mike are a couple of fat F's and that he'd like to come in here to put us in our place.
No, I didn't hear that.
But
I left. There were people left at the party after I left. I was not the last to leave for a change.
Okay. Has he ever mentioned anything to you about this deep-seated hatred he has for us?
Never.
Never.
Never said anything that might you might interpret as some sort of hatred for us?
No. Was this reported to you from a reliable source?
Well, from Inspector Gadget Broyhill. He said it to Broyhill.
Really?
Yes, with Alan standing right there. Now, see...
Was there a context, or did it just come out of the blue?
Broyhill said it came up that he was saying, hey, yeah, their show's number one, their show's doing great, but they're big fat F's, and
I'd like to put them in their place. Something like that, like, you know, cut us down to size or something like that.
No, in fact, I don't think he's ever been anything, but you've never done anything to him, have you?
We'll talk about him being Dracula and all that.
No, I mean...
Jeffrey Hedges, the winged bat.
He only cares about things that cost him money. You haven't done anything like that, right?
You seem pretty cowardly to me. You know, the guy, I walk by him in the hall 20 times a day, and he just shrugs at me.
Yeah, I think there's more to that story. I can't imagine him doing that.
Well, I heard you were standing right there when he said it.
No, I swear to God.
Okay, all right. So that would be, you don't know about Hedges.
Hey,
about...
anytime anybody calls you two guys fat F's, you know, I come to your defense.
Thank you, Ken.
Very nice.
And we appreciate it. We know that happens a lot. So that would be, you don't know about Hedges, and that's a no on Stacy judging the contest.
You're right.
And one final question. Since Stacy can't judge it, would you have any interest in judging the contest?
Not a little bit.
Because you're pretty sure you'll never sue us. Although you've come close a couple of times.
Yeah, really.
I've thought about it.
As a matter of fact, you've said some pretty awful things to us. You've called us effers before.
But that's always been, a real... That's been a real, like, head-to-head conflict. This one kind of comes out of left field.
Don't you remember that time that you told Brian we could both go F ourselves?
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Moment, that's a verb, not a noun.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ken.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's a verb, not a noun. Oh, man. Fearless leader on his game a little bit today.
All right.
Probably standing there, though, the whole time that went on.
I've got one more number for Dracula.
And I believe, would you agree that we will, the only excuse
it's
we'll accept...
Stacy Broadcasting, WGFK.
I get it.
Well,
I was drunk and shouldn't have said that excuse.
I don't know.
If there's a lengthy explanation, we might get even more angry. You know?
Yeah,
let me tell you why, actually. I don't even want to be in the building.
I do. I do. I'm ready for it. Absolutely ready for it. All right. Well, great place to work.
Yes.
Let's hear it. Three cheers for CBS.
Hallelujah.
Hey.
Hooray.
Okay. Well, Now I'm in the mood to take a commercial, so I can go walk
back by Jeff Hedges' office. Give him my best, won't you?
I shall.
Absolutely.
I shall, and then I guess we'll be right back, everybody.
And maybe we'll have an update.
Yes. Oh, yeah. One way or the other.
That's
I
good.
Promise you an update when we come right back.
That you can be on the radio. There is a requisite involved. You have to be Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Makes me weak at the knee.
Okay, hi, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Another day of the ranch. I don't really have an update for you.
Right.
I went back there to the sales manager's office.
Mm-hmm.
He was on a speakerphone
at the time.
Too busy to talk to you. Like all these business papers and stuff out on his desk.
Mm-hmm.
So I knocked on the door and I said, hey, you got a minute? He looks up and he says, no. And I said, well, I understand that you had some things to say at a party
mm-hmm.
on Friday night. And, you know, I've never said two words to you. Came as a surprise to me. The guy wouldn't even look me in the eye. The guy's just looking down at his papers the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm having this conversation with him, he's continuing to have these people on the speakerphones. And they're like going, yeah, I'd like to buy 300 points a week. And the other guy is saying, you know,
what in the middle of it is going on?
Right.
That's interesting.
Right. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't put them on hold.
No.
Wouldn't talk to me. So then finally he looks at me and he says, how about we discuss this another time?
Like after your show.
I said, well, you know, after the show, I go home.
Mm-hmm.
How about tomorrow? I get here about 2 o'clock. He said, that's fine. Tomorrow. And I listened to him again, and I said, just to get into this a little bit, I said, I don't know where this is coming from. You know, I don't know you from a hole in the wall. You know, I don't even ever talk to you. And he just looked at me. He's like, looked at me. I don't know. Maybe the guy was bombed.
Mm-hmm.
At the party on Friday night. That's all I can say.
Well, it's interesting. That's interesting the way that shook out, Eric.
I don't know. So, you know, I wish I had something for you. I don't have anything. I went back there and tried to confront the guy, and he wouldn't talk to me about it.
And he was on the speakerphone.
Yes.
So whoever was doing the business was hearing a little bit of that, too, then, huh?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's always a mystery around.
Weird, man.
It's always, there's nothing, a day doesn't go by here where there isn't something interesting.
Yeah. It's
generated a lot of excitement throughout the building.
Of course.
That.
Absolutely.
Because,
yeah.
You know, that's the way people are.
Right. Really, sure. Everybody likes a little, you know, soap opera going on.
Sure.
But I guess the difference is that, you know, if somebody says something about us, we just go back and ask him about it.
Absolutely.
Say, hey, bud, what's your problem?
What's your problem?
Okay, well, that's the update. I'm just going to drop it now because I don't have anything else to tell you.
Well, maybe we'll see him fly by the window or something.
Maybe so when he goes to his coffin.
I was picturing you walk in the office and you don't see him. You look over behind the desk and then you look up on the ceiling and there he is. Hello.
You know, you would think that the guy would want to get it taken care of.
Yeah. I would think so, too. I would think so, too. And
guy goes out of his way to say this stuff about us to people that we work with at a party.
Right.
You know. And we talk about it on the radio, and I go back there, and the guy's like, I don't have time. But, you know, that ultra-too-calm
right.
demeanor?
Right.
I don't have time for this right now.
That's a good way to dispel things. That's certainly a good way to make more than it needs to be, to make it more than it needs to be.
I will lose no sleep thinking that Jeff Hedges hates me.
I have no problem
with that.
I file it fairly deep into the I don't care file. That is
yeah.
the truth. I mean, I enjoy the controversy. And from a business standpoint, you know, because he works around, you know, he's a manager right
Since you hate us, though, Jeff.
That's where I get, that's the level I care on. On the other level, I don't.
How about you give back all the money that you make off our show, then? since you have this deep-seated hatred of us, you will accept the fact that we're very successful.
Yeah.
But you hate us, so that must be a conflict for you 24 hours a day, having to go out and sell a product that's very successful, yet for some reason that we don't know,
you know, saying
you hate us.
Closing the deal for the ad, for the fat ass. Yeah, okay, well, you know, wait, does he come in and say to Alan, I got another 10 grand for the ad F, the fat F show?
You know, maybe he does. You know, in some ways, we're insulated. I mean, we do know a lot of stuff that goes on around here, but in some ways, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that I'm positive that when they get behind closed doors, they say, you know, never tell Don and Mike about this.
If we heard everything that was said by everybody throughout all the years we've done this show, you know, we'd be walking around with a couple of twitches.
All right. Radio, great business. Not too backbiting, is it?
No.
Right?
Good to have the people in your own building on your side, though. Good to, you know, whether they want to be or not, good to have them toe that line. I think that's the company line we should have around here.
I got a very interesting vibe when I walked down the hall.
You said it was kind of I want to fight vibe, right?
To go to the office. Well, it was, first, the vibe I got from all the other salespeople, they were like looking at me and smiling and everything. Right. Like, give me thumbs up. Like, yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Go get him.
Right.
And I went in with this guy, and I got the feeling this guy was like, you know, a little ukuke.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Arine. Unable stay.
Like, maybe take a board stay and abstay uye?
Yeah, I thought so. I don't want to say anything, but I think all the salespeople tomorrow should wear a clove of garlic around their neck. Just to be sure when they come into work tomorrow.
Always an adventure at the ranch.
He's a scary guy. You know, he's got big swords and stuff on his wall.
And he's also you know, I've had enough conversations with him to know that he is an accomplished marksman. That's what he does.
That's great. That's what I wanted to hear. Well, if I'm found shot to death tonight, I want the authorities to know the first place to go look. Right, Mr. Jeff Hedges.
I believe like a state champion at that level.
Really?
At that level, you know, one of those guys. So you
must be trying to cover up some other inadequacy in his life. The guy that has to do that, I would think, to be a master marksman.
We go out to the car, Doc.
And listen, when I'm dead, silver bullets, you're gonna know it was Hedges, man.
No, I will.
Absolutely, you'll know it.
I will.
All right,
I will. Well, that's the update. You know, and this is cruel, and I probably shouldn't say this, but I feel it necessary to be honest about this.
Yes.
The reason I didn't want to get... I know you wanted to go back there by yourself, and I didn't want to go back there for one reason.
Why?
Because I talked to him in the hallway, and if all this plays out where that doesn't happen anymore, that's not going to break my heart all day. Because I just feel... I've never felt real comfortable,
right?
Even with small talk in the hallway. I just don't... So, I mean, if it plays out that, you know, he goes his way, we go our way, that's fine. That's fine.
And the only thing that's...
Maybe what will come out of this is you'll establish a relationship with the guy and
talking
to each other.
I don't think so.
I know. Friends for life.
Not a chance.
There's a vibe, you know, there's a vibe when he's in the hallway that I just...
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's why we joke about it a little bit.
He's a scary guy.
As far as I'm concerned, you know... If he was over there doing his thing, you know, for our whole run here,
right.
And you know, never our paths met, it's not that I really like it. It's not that I really wouldn't like it. Just be fine with me.
Yeah. Just don't get loaded at a party and run your mouth though.
That's true.
You know,
not around people we work with.
Yeah, you know,
probably not a good idea for anybody to do that.
Guy's supposed to be in management here, right. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just not good business.
And really, you know, a very good friend of mine used to do that a lot at functions, and the best policy for that is to immediately seek out the individual who's offended and apologize. That's usually the best way to rectify that situation. That's a friend of mine that used to do that.
Good advice.
Usually the best thing.
Was he a good friend of yours, Mike?
Very, immensely close.
He was a great guy, wasn't he?
He was a fantastic guy, and he always felt, you might have met him a couple of times.
All right. I know him very well.
He always felt so bad about that.
And
you know,
he would immediately seek out the people that he had insulted.
Yeah. Yeah, he was Irish.
Really?
Yeah. And he'd always, I mean, that's what he'd try to do. And didn't always work, but he'd always
do. Always try.
And the sooner, the better.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you mend those fences as soon as possible.
Okay.
His experience.
Okay, well, enough about
all right.
Enough about all that.
Very good.
Oh. I can't stop talking about it.
It's under your skin. It's under your skin.
Yeah, it truly is, man.
It's probably been a while since something like that has happened.
You know, I got no problem if somebody doesn't like us, doesn't like me. If it's known, you know, and there are a few people around here that I know don't dig me, and I don't particularly dig them, but at least with them I have a, you know, an okay working relationship. Or say hello in the hall, and they say hello back, and that's pretty much all that happens.
The most important thing here is the working relationship. You know, who knows?
Well, I've never had a working relationship with a guy, right?
I can never say anything to the guy.
It's true.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, I don't want to offend him. I don't consider him all that relevant for what we do. You know what I mean? I don't consider him. I don't like the fact that he's talking maybe at a party about, hey, those fat F's and that type of thing. But as far as the day-to-day activity, there's several people that we have to have contact with.
I know. He's not one of those folks.
What did Rob write?
I'm not going to say it.
What did he write?
I'm not going to say it.
Come on.
It's not.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just read it. Don't read it out loud, though. Just read it. Okay. You know, there's three very cruel people in this room, and a lot of times...
That's right. It's easy to put those lines in front of us, right?
A lot of times, the cruelest person in this room is sitting back having his lunch at about 4:30 every day.
That's right.
I'm a very sweetheart.
It's funny, though, Ross.
That's right.
Yeah. That's funny.
Run up there with the bullets, but you don't have to pull the trigger, pal.
Funny, though, what he really...
Gotta
admit it, it's funny. It's a good line.
It's a great line.
And truthful.
Yes.
Extremely so.
However, yeah. Can't do it.
Okay.
No. Not today. Maybe another day. Thank you, though, Shecky.
All right.
Listen, we have to talk to the doctor.
Yes, we do.
You know, because now look what's happened. Jeff Hedges, see what you made me do? Look at this. It's almost 4:30 now. I had to waste a half hour of this show talking about your cowardly comments at a cocktail party about us on Friday night. See what you made me do?
It's an adventure. When the adventure starts on Monday, that's very, very exciting.
All right, bring the doctor in.
Dr. Junta!
How embarrassing that the doctor has to be here while we air our dirty, skid-marked laundry.
The good doctor is here. Sorry, Doc, we're having, you know, one of those in-house problems.
Hello, doctor.
That's all right. I do psychotherapy on the side.
Do you really fantastic?
Let me ask
really?
You, what would you think about a guy who, I guess we've worked with him 2 years. Really, I've had no contact with him, an occasional hello in the hallway. That's it. Nothing. I've never had a conversation with the fellow. At a party, he shoots off his mouth, says, me and Mike are big fat ass, and he'd like to come in here and put us in our place.
Well, I think you guys have to talk about it with him, because there's obviously some miscommunication about feelings, or no communication about feelings. If there should be any communication about his feelings, they should be direct and not indirect, and... As you say,
not cowardly like that.
You really do this on the side. I can tell listening to you right now, you really do.
Well, I've been dealing with people for 30 years
right.
in all aspects of it, and cutting is only one aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, just let me ask you one more question about this topic.
They have a standing reservation at the House of Poon. Don and Mike.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
All right, well, apparently the soap opera of the day is going to play itself out right now, right?
Ah, very good. I love closure.
Yeah, because Gadget just came in during the commercial and said that Scary Jeff Hedges went into the producer's room and said, tell them I'm ready to take their call.
Ah, good.
Okay,
well, let's call.
Just to recap, this guy is in management here at the station.
Right.
You know, frankly, we don't know him. Guy had some awful things to say about us at a party on Friday night, said them to our producer and to other people, where he knew that they would get back to us.
So, haven't had a lot of contact with him, and we'll find out once and for all, check in what's going on. There's our fantastic inter-house phone system. I got to call back up to the front desk now. All right? Very good. We get that taken care of. There's always a controversy here. It is always an adventure.
Broadcasting WJFK.
Colette, can we talk to Hedges, please?
Sure, one moment, please.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, maybe he does. Who knows? We'll find out.
I'm just waiting. I have no idea how this is going to go.
Me either.
Could be healthy.
I didn't know the guy had a problem, frankly.
Hello?
Yes, Jeff, it's Don and Mike. We understand that you're ready to talk to us.
Well, I had three people on the conference call, and there was only one of you, 3-1, and you lost. I had to do it.
All right, okay.
I'm ready now.
All right, what the hell is going on?
Well, I don't know. Why don't you tell me?
Okay, well, my producer, Charles Broyhill.
Yeah?
Comes to me and says, hey, at the party on Friday night.
Yeah?
Party that Mike and I did not attend.
Why weren't you there?
Well, that's not relevant. What does that have to do with anything?
That's not relevant.
Oh, I was just curious.
Okay.
I thought you guys would have been there to see Mr. Shinsky off.
I had a personal situation.
Okay.
Oh, you got a problem with that, bud?
No.
Okay.
Go with your story.
So, the story is, as I hear it,
yeah.
that you walk up to a group of men, including Charles Broyhill, Alan, maybe Ken was standing there, maybe he wasn't, and you start talking about us. And you called us a couple of fat Fs, and you said that you'd like the chance to come in here and put us in our place.
Is that accurate?
Semi.
Oh, so again, what's your problem?
Well, first of all, you guys got to settle down to the notion that the difference between personal and comedic. I got nothing with you guys personally. I don't even know you.
That's what we were saying. We were saying earlier that we really don't know you.
Well, explain the comedy to me, though.
You didn't think it was funny?
Not the way it was presented.
Explain it to me. Maybe it was in the delivery. Explain to me why that was funny.
Well, I think they were asking me how I enjoyed my newfound celebrity status being on your show with, what is that bit you do where you play the Dracula music?
Okay.
That was
all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Being a reasonably private person, after having listened to this for a year, I guess I'd had enough. And
all right, so that upsets you. Just let me ask you, did it ever occur to you maybe to come up to, well, you never talked to me, but I know you talked to Mike, to ever walk up to either one of us and say, hey, guys, you know, cool it on that?
Because that, if you don't know anything about us, that, to be perfectly honest with you, that's done through the proper channels, that actually works.
And those
if
channels,
something is really...
Those channels would be what?
You walking up to us and telling us, that, you know, man to man, that you know, hey, this is really embarrassing. Please don't do it. I mean, if it's done in a civil way...
You guys, for mercy, I would figure that it would really get cranked up then.
Well, you see, what you don't understand is because you don't know
How could you work here and not know anything about us, man? How can we be friends with so many salespeople back there? And they all know the difference between when we're doing the show and when we're not on the radio. I mean... It's not that tough to figure out, man.
And it's probably, you know, I would venture to say, for those people that we've had long-term relationships with that have worked in sales or worked in the business end of it,
right,
people that have known us, and I'm going to say over 5 years,
okay,
that people that are recurring bit characters on this show, people that have been on the show, there's probably with every one of them been an occasional situation where they say, hey, don't say that, please don't say that, and we honor that. And that happens all the time. It happens with Ken Stevens all the time also. I mean, there are certain things that people get, if they get fed up with, if they come to us,
mm-hmm,
and they say something to us, if there's any kind of relationship there, but certainly, you know, not going to a party and
saying to a group of people that we're fat F's, and you'd like to come on this show and put us in our place.
Especially when, you know, if you had indicated that, you know, what we're doing, that bit is, you know, a la anything we'd be doing about Tim McWilliams, that type of stuff. I never perceived it as something that...
And, you know, I guess what I'm pissed about is the fact that you just didn't come up to me. You know what I mean? You think I'm a fat F, or you'd like to tell me to shut up? I'll say it to my face. Don't say it to a group of people when I'm not there.
So, I mean, if you want to know the proper channels, you know, there are no channels. It's just basically...
You walk up and say something to
us. You know, say, hey, that, you know, could you knock it off?
And that works, and it doesn't get cranked up and nothing more happens.
No, listen, okay, for the last time, you know, for being a guy that's been in the radio business as long as you've been in, either Mike and I are damn good at radio, or you're damn silly that you don't, I guess you must really believe everything you hear on the radio. You must really think that we're a couple of friggin' monsters. Huh? Don't you think it'd be possible that someone would say to us, hey, knock it off, and we'd say, hey, okay.
Well, let's say I had reasonable doubt.
Yeah, but based on what?
Well, just...
Based on what? What you hear on the radio?
Well, isn't that all true?
Well, okay, Jeff, what do you think? You think I really act like this when I go home at night? You think I yell at my wife like this when I go home?
No, she probably runs that show.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to do is establish where that came from, and if it, you know...
Listen, either way, this comes back to you. Whether you thought it would be resolved like that or not, you didn't take the step to find out. And you then went behind our backs and, might I say, pretty cowardly, you know, calling us names in front of other people and stuff, when you never even gave it a chance to come to us and ask us. I'd understand if you're pissed off you came to us and said, hey, knock it off, and then we didn't. Or, as you say, if we cranked it up another notch, we never even gave us that bit of hospitality.
Well, you see, if you guys got the microphone and I'm wrong on the belief that you wouldn't crank it up, then it gets worse, not better.
Well, now, what do you think now, Jeff? You're on the radio now.
Right.
Right. You have your format. Anything you want to say? I understand that at this party on Friday night, you said you had a whole bunch of stuff you wanted to say to us. Put us in our place. Well, here you go. Here's your form. I'm not afraid of you.
But you wouldn't want your listeners to hear it, would you?
Sure, what's that? I mean, what do you want to say? What do you got to say?
Do you have issues with us?
No.
You don't?
No, just drop the Dracula music.
You don't like the Dracula music?
Well, right.
But, I mean, what I'm saying to you is that if someone comes to us and says they are bothered by that, and you come to us individually and say that, I mean...
It's done. Every time it's done. And no, I'm not afraid of anything you want to say to my listeners. You go ahead. Anything you want to say? We always say I'm fat. Oh, that would really cut me to the quick. Well, you're bald.
See, I mean, it's a two-way street. That's the way it goes. So, I mean, I still don't get kind of where it comes from. But if it came from the, you know, the bit that we were doing about you...
Which wasn't an everyday bit, incidentally.
And really, I mean, we've done a lot of things about a lot of people at this radio station. That is not something that I would have personally put into the category of something that I would have figured would hit the hot button. If it does, hey, fine.
All it takes is you saying something.
But you know, just come up to us and say it. I mean, because really, we don't know all the time. And if somebody comes up and says that to us, that's fine. That's no problem. But certainly the way to do it is not to, you know... Certainly not to talk to our producer and say it in front of two other people or three other people, you know, those at and fat S. That's you know, we wonder, especially when we really don't know where it's coming from. You understand that, don't you?
Well, I wouldn't want you guys to think I don't like you.
Oh, well, listen, we're beyond that, okay? Frankly, I don't care, and I'm sure you don't care that I don't like you. I don't care. As long as you sell the commercials for my goddamn show, I don't care.
But I think that we've established one thing, that the way to communicate with us, if there's ever a problem, is to really not do it the way we're doing it, you know, and to come to us directly if you've got a
anytime,
problem.
Anytime. Anytime in the last year, you could have come up to us, and we would have said, okay.
And we don't have to be buddies to have that work.
Because frankly, you know, it's not like it's a bit that our whole show is hanging on, saying that you're Dracula, okay?
That's fair enough. Well, then I apologize for an inappropriate path of response and for not having enough confidence in you.
Okay. I apologize.
And hopefully, you know, whether we all like each other or not, we can, you know, we can communicate that way in the future. I hope that works out.
Well, that'll work.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right. Goodbye.
Say bye.
Oh, no. No, that's a soap opera music. That's not the Dracula music. Right, that's right. A soap opera.
That's soap opera music. I wasn't going to say it going in. But my theory was, you know, when I was trying to figure out,
Jesus Christ,
where could it have come from?
What a loony bin this place is.
That's where it came from.
What a loony bin!
Amazing.
What a loony bin.
Unbelievable.
All right.
Rob. Let me see.
No,
I want to read the notes.
Just look at it. You know, Rob is like a guy when there's a fire. Rob is standing there with a bunch of lighter fluid. Okay?
Rob.
I'm glad it's resolved
because
I like Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
Shut up, Rob. Very good.
Shut up. Another day. Maybe I would read your joke, Rob.
But folks, you know, you don't get that anywhere else. That's real, legitimate conflict resolved. Or perhaps resolved on this show.
Yeah.
That's the real stuff, right?
As resolved as it's ever going to be.
Absolutely. That's true. That's fine. And I'm fine with that.
I think that's a testament to our show.
Mm-hmm.
That guy obviously doesn't know.
Right.
You know, something that 99% of the people listening to this goddamn show know, that we're here doing a goddamn show.
A show.
A show.
Show.
A show.
Absolutely.
It's a show.
Okay. There you go. There you go. Real slice of reality there, folks.
All right. Well, happy Monday, everybody.
Another great Monday at the ranch.
He'll be out on the street later today selling big price commercials for our show. Because he really believes in us, man. He really believes in us. Behind us 100%.
There you go.
All right.
Well, another day at the office.
Who knew?
Somebody asked me, what part of your job do you like the most? I like the part when we're on the air. What part do you hate the most? Remember, we have to walk the hallways here.
We will be right back. What a place.
So gone crazy.
Austin, Northern California. For the first time ever, the Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show invades the West Coast. Friday, 18th June, the entire Don and Mike family will be at the Memorial Auditorium, 15th and J Street, right in downtown Sacramento. Don and Mike hit the stage at 8:30 p.m., but get there early. Don't miss out on this rare opportunity to see your favorite nuts in the big fat live music, live girl, and Don and Mike live. It'll be big. I mean, really big. This is G. Gordon Liddy speaking.
Somebody won't show me the world.
They're good listeners because they're good talkers. Don and Mike.
All right, now the show is all off schedule here. Already halfway done with the show today.
I want to say thanks to some of the friendly words from some of the staff in the hallway.
Really?
That's all I wanted to say. Some nice words. So, you know, every now and then when you're dealing with a situation like that, it's nice to know that you got some friends.
I just want Tim McWilliams to know that he cannot have the Dracula music. Jim McWilliams got me and said, hey, Donnie, when I come on the show, play the rapping music for me.
No, that's it. We're going to retire that music for a brief period of time there, Timbo.
Okay. Yeah. All right, on with the show.
Very good.
Still got to get to Ricky Martin is gay.
Yes, there's a big article in the tabloids.
We still have all of our Austin Powers tickets to give away. We have a screening of Austin Powers, Spy Who Shagged Me, Friday morning.
Oh, that's great.
First thing, you'll be the first to see the movie. We will get to that momentarily. The weekend. I'm going to have to condense this now. So let me tell you about a couple things from the weekend.
Okay.
That because it was my wife's birthday, like the whole focus of the weekend was, of course, everything that she wanted to do.
You gave up the entire weekend for her needs, for her desires.
Meeting on Saturday, we went to the Virginia Wine Festival, which is a supreme fluster cluck.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of people out there, man. A lot of people come out to...
it's the flusteriest cuck of all.
Fuck your county.
Yeah. And first off, even if there was no traffic, it's like an hour and a half from where we live.
Right.
But with the traffic... Listen to this, and I got to apologize because there's a bunch of people that hate me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you why they hate me, but I got to think I'm very smart.
Right.
When we were driving on Highway 66 to get to this wine festival, which is a piece of garbage in Charlotte, when we got to the exit for the planes, because that's the big wide open space where they're having this thing.
Know it well.
Okay. Cars started lining up for the exit ramp 2 miles before the exit ramp.
Okay.
So I waited in that line like an idiot until I got up to the exit ramp, and I said, you know what I could have done? I could have just driven in the left-hand lane and just cut in at the last second.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, don't do that. People won't hate you. I said, well, I don't care if people hate me, and I'm going to do that the next time we have the opportunity. So we got off the highway, and now we got to go on another road that you make a left-hand turn off 66, and you have to cut way back in. Well, as soon as we make the turn off the interstate, cars are already lined up. There's 2 lanes of traffic going in the left direction.
Right.
But everybody is already lining up in the left-hand lane.
Mm-hmm.
I said to Frida, I'll bet you if I get in the right-hand lane, we're going to save at least an hour sitting in this traffic.
Okay.
She said, don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, screw it. I was so...
When you get to the end of the right-hand lane, what you're going to get is the no one will let you in factor, right?
And I said, I'd rather deal with that for 5 minutes than sit in this line for an hour.
Right.
So I clicked the odometer, put it back to 000 because I'm past that goofy superstition now.
Right.
And I said, I'm just going to see how long people are lined up to get into this thing.
Okay.
2.8 miles later.
Oh, my God.
Okay. And now there are 2 lanes on this road.
For a cup of cheap wine.
Yet everybody is in the left-hand lane because they all know that at some point they're going to have to make a left-hand turn. So it... There are two lanes that are open, but nobody's using the right-hand lane.
If people had just thought to do that,
it would
have eliminated that backup.
Right? So we're just driving by. I'm doing 60. Driving by, looking at them, they're going, hey, oh, ye suckers. Driving by real happy, and I'm announcing to the odometer, and they go, hey, 2 miles. You see that, honey? That's 2 miles that we're not sitting in.
You're type A. You got to take
miles.
Care of it.
2.5 miles.
Right.
Okay, the turn's coming up here. 2.8 miles.
Anybody at all doing the same thing?
No!
Oh, boy.
We're the only one.
So you're anticipating the moment of truth.
We're the only one. Now, there are cops. There's about 1 million cops that are down at the intersection, and they're doing the traffic. They're keeping the traffic coming another way.
Are they going to let you do that?
Beautiful state cop.
Oh, really?
I pull up, and right away, I see all the looks
from all the other people.
Right.
Any horns or anything like that?
No, but just a bunch of dirty looks from just schmucks
of course.
That have waited in this line. And again,
I could have cut their time in half by simply getting into the right lane and doing that.
It's not like the right lane was
2.8 miles.
Was closed.
It's amazing.
It's just because people immediately think, we got to get in the left hand lane.
Absolutely. It's the lemming factor.
Everybody else is lining up. So as we got closer, here's what Frida's doing. She's leaning down in the chair in the car. She said, I don't want anybody to see me. I said, why? We're the only smart people here, honey. Look at this. So as we get closer, there's a cop. Cop says stop. He's stopping all the traffic.
Right.
Then when he's going to let people make the left-hand turn, who's the first car to let go through? He held up the people in the left-hand lane, and he got his yellow flag, and he gives me the...
Go right on in. Andy, I bet your wife was proud of you.
Oh, no, she wasn't, but
she was mad.
All the other people that had been waiting, they came in behind us.
Okay.
So we were the first coming through, and then when you get in there, you can't park anywhere you want.
Right, they farm you into a certain stall.
Shuffled off, so as we were going to our parking gulag area, she said, oh, great. all those people who think you just cut in line on them, look it. They're all behind us right now.
Did you still get the dirty look?
Oh, a guy said something to me.
Oh, did he really? Yeah.
So we parked the car, we get out of the car, and a guy said to me,
you got a lot of nerve.
I said, I got a lot of nerve. There was never a sign that said left hand only. He said, all the other cars were in a left hand lane. And then this floored me. Guy said, we waited off 66 an hour and 20 minutes to get in here. How long did it take you? I said, about 4 minutes. And then the guy just kind of stood there and I wanted to make sure like he wasn't going to let the air out of my tires or anything.
Right.
And it, you know, he turned his off. That was at the wine festival. And Frida said, well, this has gotten off to a great start. He said, honey, this has gotten off to a great start. Look at this. Look at all the time. We said, now we're here. We're here at your crappy wine festival. Let's go. So then we get to the next big cluster.
You know, the mentality.
I probably shouldn't say this, but it's like when you get a major, major blockage. And some people, you know, have to be somewhere. Some people have a thing where they get into that emergency lane and they're shooting up there occasionally. And, you know, occasionally somebody's got a reason to be there.
I had a reason, Mike. I'm very busy.
The people that I had the meltdown with are the people that will edge their cars out into that lane for no other reason than just to screw up the person that might have a reason that they have to get somewhere.
Well,
you know?
I had a reason.
You wanted to be there.
I didn't want to waste all day in the left-hand lane when the right-hand lane was open.
But also, if there was no lane, if it wasn't a sign saying you have to be in this
there
lane.
There was no sign. People were just doing it because they figured, hey,
and if everybody,
it's crowded out here. This is the way to get into the wine.
And if everybody kind of divvied up and did a merge experience and got up there, you would have had a line that was half that long.
I'm dying to know, why do you think the trooper waved you through like that?
Well, I don't know.
Maybe because I'm such a beautiful man, Buzz.
He was okay with it, though.
Yeah, that's great. Maybe he recognized I'm the only guy that was smart enough to take the right-hand lane.
Well, maybe next year all those people that wait in that line will realize that maybe you should get in the right lane, and everybody will get there sooner.
Yeah. Okay, so then there was a second part to this.
Because
we get in, we park the car, and the guy says something to me, we think nothing of it. We got to walk a mile to get to this the damn gate where you get in there. And again, I see the same thing. I see a line of people. There's the ticket area where you give your tickets and where you buy your tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, there is a line of people that stretches, no exaggeration, as far as the eye can see.
And I know you agree with me. What you're talking about, people, you could pick a real nice restaurant, go buy a bottle of wine, and have a much more pleasant afternoon.
I said to Frida, look at this line as we walked in. I said, okay, now, hear me out on this. See this line? Look where the line starts to fall apart. When you get about 10 people from the front, I said, do you see all the people that are just kind of pushing and shoving their way up there in the front? I said, you know what we are, honey? We're those people. She said, no, we have to go get at the end of the line. I said, why? Watch this.
No cuts.
We're going to walk right up. We're going to just walk right into the damn place. She said, I will be too embarrassed. I said, put your hat on. Come on.
Here we go. Put the big oversized hat on.
We walk right up to the front.
Mm-hmm.
I mean to tell you that at one point, because it's not an organized line, there are people milling around. There are people looking for other people, people using their cell phones. People are walking up to get their tickets from Will Call. People are walking up to buy their tickets. We just walked right up to the front of the line, and we walked right in the place.
Unbelievable.
We walked right in the place, and the only bit of crap we got was from a lady that was in front of us. We didn't cut in front of her. We cut in kind of behind her, where there was a mingling of people.
Right.
And she said, Some people just don't wait in line. Some people just don't get what's happening here. Some people are so uncivilized. And she turned around and looked at me, and I just smiled at her.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's like, hey, what are you going to do? I'm uncivilized. How you doing, lady? Let's get to the wine festival.
Was it worth it after all that?
No. That sucked. And even my wife thought so. So we get inside, and basically what it is, it's dirt.
Right.
You're walking around on dirt.
Mm-hmm.
It's 100 degrees. Mm. There are tents.
Right.
Everywhere there's tents. And you get a wine glass when you come in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pay $10 and you get a strap of leather that you can hang around your neck so that you can hang the wine glass from your neck if you're so lazy that you don't want to carry the wine glass around.
Under the guise of you're going to be sipping and
tasting,
spitting out the wine, when in fact the vast majority of people are out there for, you know, to get drunk.
Now, I'm not a big drinker, and especially, you know, during the daytime on Saturday. So I said to Frida, knock yourself out. We're here for you. It's your birthday weekend. You want her to come to this? Get hammered if you want, because I'm driving.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Have any kind of wine you want. She walked around and she said, you know what? All the wine in this place is like wine you can buy at Safeway. She said, there's no good wine here.
She was looking for a slightly better grade.
I guess. I don't know a lot about wine. I said, right. Honey, we're here. I said, just get in line and get some wine. She said, it's too hot. She said, I want a beer. too hot to drink wine.
Have a beer at the wine fest.
Right, well, they didn't have any beer. They only had wine at the wine fest. So after all this hassle,
right,
we stayed 15 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And then she said, okay, listen, that's it. She said, I love you. You're great for taking me. Let's go. I said, honey, now at this point, what a reversal. I'm saying to her, please, stay.
Right.
I said, we came all the way out here. It took us 2 hours to get here.
Sure.
Stay. Have a glass of friggin' wine. Go look at the crafts. Do something. She said, no, I've really had enough. Let's go. She said, I want to go see Star Wars.
Oh, my God.
All right, it's your weekend. Keep in mind, I've already seen Star Wars twice.
Right, right.
Saw once at the premiere and once when I took my son and all my nephews to go see it.
You're helping your bottom line there for your bet.
And, of course, every ticket I buy makes it closer to Charlie Stoffel getting his head shaved.
You didn't get your low number. You got right in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, made about $30 million bucks.
Absolutely.
In no part because I bought three tickets.
That helped.
Because we went to see it again on Saturday.
I would imagine that's got to be a little tough to see for the third time.
Very boring.
Yeah.
Very boring. Halfway through, I got up and walked out and watched a little bit of Notting Hill.
Right.
Which is also a gigantic bore. Notting Hill was so boring that I got up and walked back into Star Wars.
Well, you got to stay with Notting Hill from the beginning to end.
I don't think so, Mike.
It's just dreamy if you stay with it from the beginning to the end.
I don't think so.
Aside Friday night.
I walked in when all the reporters come to the house. Hugh Grant opens the door and then shuts the door. And then
that's the very negative point in the film.
And then his, who's that, his gay roommate that comes out and he's naked?
That's the funniest guy in the movie right there. That guy was so...
If that guy's the funniest guy in the movie, then I didn't miss much, man.
You got to stay with it from the very beginning.
I saw that guy come out and he's standing out there naked and all the photographers are taking his picture.
Yeah, that wasn't anything compared to what he does. He's the roommate of Hugh Grant in this movie. Not bad. I mean, everybody that told me it's good three stars... Good three-star movie. Good entertaining, good Hollywood, old-fashioned Hollywood ending.
P.U. No, you don't like it. Sucked. I went back and watched
a date movie.
I watched Star Wars one more time. I was in three times now. Said the 3 days. And then I went back and I said that. She said, I thought you were going to watch Notting Hill. I said, Notting Hill sucks. She said, well, Star Wars sucks. Frida didn't like Star Wars either.
Right.
I said, isn't it annoying how they keep calling the little boy Annie? Listen to this. I picked up on this the second time I saw Star Wars. I've seen it three times.
Mm-hmm.
Anakin Skywalker. Mm-hmm. I call him Annie. Hey, Annie.
That's a girl's name.
Yes, it sure is, Mike.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Well, I bet he would have enjoyed Notting Hill.
Thank you very much. Although I am noticing now little idiot things in the Star Wars movie, like in the scene when the princess is talking to the Senate.
Right.
When she's pleading her case.
Right. I say right, but I don't know right because I haven't seen it.
It's a very boring scene in the movie.
Right.
There's one little partition where there are three ETs.
That's right.
Three little E.T. guys.
I haven't seen them, but I've been reading about this, about the various characters you can spot in the Senate gallery. Some E.T.s and some Wookiees.
You seem
enthusiastic. You seem more enthusiastic about this than you're normal.
Yeah, and just trying to be peppy. So then for the whole last half hour of the movie, Fred and I were having a very low-key discussion. Since everybody was talking in Star Wars anyway, all the kids were talking. We were talking about which we hated more, the Ewoks or Jar Jar Binks. And we decided that, frankly, we hate the Ewoks more than we hate Jar Jar Binks.
I understand what you're talking about.
There. Right. So, saw Star Wars, went to the wine festival. Sunday, keep in mind, still not my wife's birthday. Birthday not till Monday.
You're giving her the weekend.
But Sunday, again, it was, what would you like to do? She wants to go to the fancy restaurant where you have to wear a suit and tie. Said, honey, done and done.
Great restaurant.
Go to the fancy restaurant. You get done at the fancy restaurant.
You like that, though. You do something you enjoy.
Very nice restaurant.
Right.
Time for my son's piano recital.
Right.
Now, my son is wicked talented with the piano. He's excellent. But the problem with one of these piano recitals is that you have to sit through, and I counted yesterday, 36 kids.
Yeah. What's the average performance time?
Like I was trying to work that out in my head. But we were sitting in this, and it's in a church with no air conditioning.
Oh.
So we're sitting in a church at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Now, fortunately, Bart went fourth.
Okay.
Kicked ass. He did a fantastic job. I said to Frida.
Your wife is very polite for all the other parents. She doesn't let you leave, does she?
I said, why don't we just slip out after he plays his song? And she said, he has to stay. I said, right. He has to stay. He has to stay and sit up front. He'll never know. You and I will get out. We'll get something to eat.
Right.
We'll come back. And I was doing the math. I said, honey, there are 36 kids. If some kids did two songs.
Right.
Let's say the average kid's up there for 4 minutes. I said, honey, that's at least an hour and 20 minutes. Now, let's say that the kids that do two songs, they're up there for 8 minutes.
We're looking at maybe being in this hot, unair-conditioned church for 2 hours.
You know, I was going to sit there and say, I've got a solution to that, but it's not a solution, because all the kids want to have an audience. They want to have a big audience, not just their parents. I was going to say, you just break out a schedule, and you say, what time your kid's going to be performing, but then it would be an empty church, and you wouldn't have any audience, and it wouldn't be a recital.
Right? And I'm sure all the other parents feel the same way we do. Frankly, you're only there to see your kid.
Right.
F all the other kids, especially the kids that are not very good, keeping in mind that when my son started playing the piano, he was one of those kids that was not very good.
Since you have to be there for the whole time, which is better, having him up front or having him at the end? Because you're going to be there anyway.
Having him up front, and I'll tell you why. Because after he performed, and he did great, I spent the next hour and 20 minutes in La La Land.
Okay, yeah, you just...
I kicked my shoes off. And I announced the freedom. I said, you know what? It's hot in here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm full. We just had dinner. I'm going to sleep.
Right.
And she said, okay, I will nudge you if you snore. I said, beautiful. So I ended up getting a nice nap. Awake. I feel the tap, tap, tap. She goes, it's 5:20.
There's only 3 more children to go.
Okay. I said, well, why did you wake me up? 3 more to go, and the 3 are the longest, because like, one kid plays the cello, another kid plays the harpsichord.
30 kids, that's a lot.
36 kids, Mike.
36!
36 kids.
God.
So that was the weekend.
Well, I'm sure she was grateful.
That was it.
Good job.
We got up today, and it was the real birthday.
Right.
And I was already feeling exhausted, because it's been the last 48 hours have been the birthday. And I get up, the first thing I say, I woke up 6:15.
Right.
You know, the alarm goes off. Even though my son has graduated 8th grade, he still has to go to school for another couple weeks.
Man, it's crunch time, isn't it? I mean, there are a lot of, like,
exams and stuff.
Yeah.
So even though they gave him his diploma last week, I thought he was out of school. I thought I'd be able to sleep in. No, it's still, you know, 6:15, she says, get up, you'll have to drive carpool.
Yeah.
I said, drive carpool? He's out of school.
Feels like summertime.
She says, no, he has only 2 weeks of school. You got to take him in at 6:15. Then he only has a half day, so you got to go pick him up then at 11 o'clock.
That is your mission.
Right? So I'm just getting out of bed. I go, I was just really... just pissed. I was like, rattle. I don't want to get up. And incidentally, it's my birthday today. Grace, it's your birthday all weekend. It's a 3-day damn celebration for your birthday.
It's a national holiday. That's you know, shut down the schools, the post offices, that's
so that's why she can cook my meat tonight.
And she is.
She'll cook dinner tonight. As far as I'm concerned, her birthday's over.
Tonight you have your pudding and you have your meat.
That's right.
That's right.
Pudding. And that was my weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You saw Notting Hill.
I saw Notting Hill Friday night. I went to a theater near my new theater, and it was really, really cool. And I hate to say this because it's not one of the theaters that Charlie has anything to do with, but it was one of those stadium theaters where they have stadium seats.
Right.
And my wife is 4'10 and a half, and I really thought my wife was
cool.
She was going to cry. She was so excited about this. She normally, if we're going to a movie, it doesn't happen a lot, but it happens occasionally, regular theater, she'll go in and inevitably, 5 minutes before the movie's going to start.
Tall guy sits in front of her?
Absolutely. Bill Walton comes down and will sit in the chair next to her, and you will hear a visible... And you know, I say, we'll move. And sometimes she'll just suffer and lean over and look at the screen between the head of the wife, who also happens to be Amazonia, and watch this. This thing, this is for anybody. This theater, the chair in front of you comes up to your, probably about mid-shin. So the person sitting in front of you is an entire giant step down below you, and the sound in this theater is just incredible, and it surrounds you. The screen is huge. I felt like I was going to one of those old theaters like they have in Washington, D.C., the Uptown.
The Uptown, right.
It had that same kind of mystique around
it. You wasted it on that fag Notting Hill.
I enjoyed it.
All that great theater karma.
Yeah, we're on a good string.
Wasted on that crappy movie.
We are on a really good string of movies, like going to movies. Because I don't go to the movies a lot. You go to the movies all the time. I don't go to the movies a lot. Because I get so pissed if I go to a movie, because I'm like your wife. I kind of research it and try to pick the right one to go see. And if I pick the wrong one and I haven't had a good time, I feel like I've really just blown it, like wasted time.
That's how I felt.
And then
seeing Star Wars and Notting Hill at the same time. Like a waste of 3 hours.
Well, you only saw a little, you know, the middle part of Notting Hill.
About 40 minutes, something.
If you got to get a start at the beginning and go all the way. It's one of those, you got to be there for the whole run.
I saw another part where they're lying in bed together.
Right.
Where... She looks at him and she says, Greta Garbo once said that
you go to bed with Greta Garbo, but you wake up with Helena Lubowitz.
And then he says, I think you're more beautiful this morning than I've ever seen you before. And it was like a real nice little romantic moment.
You're such a fag.
You are.
Well, this fag really likes to look at Julia Roberts, too. I think
that's part of my thing with her. I don't think you like her.
I don't think she's
good looking. I really don't.
If you don't think she's good looking or like Julia Roberts, you can't enjoy that movie.
And him. You got to agree. He's annoying.
He is annoying.
There is nothing to Hugh Grant.
He is annoying. And there's almost, you know, there are a couple of times in that movie where it's just a little bit too much of him. And at the very end, at the Hollywood style ending, there's almost too much of her and too much of him. You know, where they go back and forth with the looks. But by and large, good diversion, good entertainment. And I do like to, I like to look at Julia Roberts. When she fills up that giant screen, I like her look. I like looking at her. So, I mean, that's just, if you don't like looking at it, it would be like, I can imagine what it would be if I went to that movie and, well, I wouldn't be there, first of all. But if it was a movie starring Drew Barrymore, I mean, it would be horrible because you don't want, if you're going to see a romantic movie, which is, you know, where there's this love story between two people, and you're a guy and the woman doesn't look good, I mean, you can't identify with it at all.
And about that, I know we have to take a break. I know. Anakin Skywalker's mother has the worst teeth that I've seen of any woman in any movie. She has Austin Powers teeth, and I can't believe that I didn't identify this trait to you guys earlier
right.
in one of my two previous viewings of this movie. Annie Skywalker's mother has the worst teeth.
You're so gay.
Okay, we'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show, Sports 11.